I've got a verse that's just been going over and over and over and over for the last couple of weeks. And I've just been meditating on this verse. And, you know, sometimes, I heard somebody say this once. Now, if you hear something that sounds like it's too good to be true, it just might be the Word of God. Now, this verse is like that. If it wasn't the Word of God, you might not want to believe it. But since Jesus said it, it's worth believing. Amen. Now, this verse, it's found in the book of Mark. The book of Mark in chapter number 9. And I'm going to read one verse. This verse number 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to those who believe. Wow. That's in red. Jesus said that. I didn't come up with it. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. I'm reading what he said. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to those who believe. Boy, I got to meditating on that. And I thought, now he didn't just say some things are possible. He didn't just say 50% of things are probably going to be possible. If you believe me, 50% chance. No, if you believe me, 75% chance. He didn't even say 99.9%. You know, no, he didn't say that. He said all. That's 100%. All. I looked up that word in the Greek, and it means all. It didn't change the meaning at all. All means all. So now Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to those who believe. In other words, you could say it this way. For those who believe, there is nothing that's impossible. For those who believe. Because all things are possible. Sometimes, you know, you just think in the natural. That's kind of hard to wrap your head around something like that. All things are possible? But that's what Jesus said. All things are possible to those who believe. So, you know, I had some things that I was believing for. And so when I saw that verse, I thought, well, my goodness, that kind of ups my odds, doesn't it? You could say it that way. All things are possible for those who believe. Now, see, it wasn't but Monday of this week. Now we just saw this verse take place this week. Now, on Sunday, I got a phone call. There was a gentleman, he's not even 30 years old. Not even 30, he's in his late 20s. He was up here in Muskogee, and all of a sudden, he got this real tremendous headache on the right side of his head. Left side of his body went numb. He had some tremendous pressure in the back of his eyes. And it got to the point to where he went to his doctor, and his doctor was here in Muskogee, went to his doctor, and by the time, now somebody was driving him, fortunately, he wasn't by himself. By the time he got to the doctor said, boy, you better go to the hospital. So he went to the hospital. By the time he got to the hospital, his family arrived. He didn't know anybody, didn't know his family. He didn't know anything. Right or left side was, he couldn't move anything. Had a tremendous headache. All the indications of a stroke. And so now the family's coming, you know, and everybody's checking him all out and everything. And the family had all prayed, and I was west of Muskogee, and it was later in the day. I was heading home, so I was 5 minutes away from being here in Muskogee. Now, this was my pastor's son who was in the hospital now. And so I said, I'll be there in 5 minutes. So I came here to Muskogee, went to emergency, you know, and I said, I'm sure that you've all prayed, but let's gather around. It's time to pray again. And so we were talking about this verse, all things are possible to those who believe. If you're a believer, all things are possible for those who believe. And so we gathered around and we prayed the healing power of God on his body. And we just spoke the word, you see. So then his, now this fella's wife is a nurse, and she's a nurse up in a hospital up in Tulsa. And so even though he came here to the Muskogee Hospital, they were more familiar with the hospital up in Tulsa, and so they wanted to be transferred because they knew the doctors. And so they worked that all out. And he was life-flighted that night. You know, it was the only way they were going to move him. If you want to be moved, it's going to be helicopter. And so they moved him on up later Monday night. And then Tuesday morning, they started some intensive tests to figure out what's going on. You know, all kinds of scans, all kinds of things. Just over and over, all kinds of things. They had a battery of doctors. They said, it's very unusual that there's a man this age, this young, in this ward, you know, for heart and for, you know, for all of that. And so they said, this is very unusual. So they had a team of like 5-6 doctors that were all looking this thing over. They looked everything over on Tuesday. They were trying to come up with what was it that caused this to happen. Now his paralysis now, this is Tuesday, now his paralysis on the left side, now it's all gone. His pain is all gone. He knows everybody. Doctors started asking him some difficult questions, you know, purposely, to find out about his thinking. Boy, he was just rattling off answers. I mean, he knew everybody, rattling off answers. And so they're out there trying to figure out what happened. So they ran tests all yesterday. Ran all tests all on into the evening. They said, man, we can't figure this one out. We can't find anything wrong with it. All the tests we've run, all the scans we've run. See, all things are possible for those who believe, but now it'll baffle the doctors because they're looking for something. And that's a good thing. I mean, my goodness, thank God for doctors. Man, there's a bunch of us wouldn't be here if it wasn't for doctors. Thank God for doctors. But now, we're talking about God. It kind of ups one from a doctor. Amen. When the doctors run out of ideas, well, all things are possible for those who believe. So they're running all these things, you know, and so then it got later on in the evening, and the doctor said, we're all going to get together again, you know, in the morning. That would have been this morning. No. Let's see. Tuesday. Yesterday was Wednesday. They were doing more tests Wednesday. Yeah, it was 2 days of tests, actually. And so then last night, they still didn't know. They just couldn't figure this out. They said, there's absolutely no damage anywhere. We can't see any damage to any any vessels, any veins, any nothing. We're looking all over his body. We're trying to find, you know, what in the world happened, you know, but we can't find anything. So then finally the doctors all got together this morning. And so they came into his room this morning. And they said, we want you to know that there is absolutely nothing wrong with you. Now, we can't figure it out, except we know that you guys pray. And outside of the supernatural, there's no explanation. We're not giving you any medication. We're not giving you any blood thinner. We're not giving you anything, because we can't find anything wrong. So we're releasing you. And we want you to come back in 6 weeks, you know, just do another checkup and see if what's going on. Say, absolutely nothing wrong. all things are possible to those who believe. See? Now, some people get a little nervous about that because there must be something wrong. Well, there may have been, but there's not now. So here we have this verse. All things are possible to those who believe. In the book of Mark, a couple of chapters before Jesus said this, there's a story about the woman with the issue of blood. You remember that story? I'm just going to briefly give it to you. There was a woman with the issue of blood, and she had this issue of blood for 12 years. It said that she had money, and she spent all that she had on the doctors. And I'm sure that the doctors, you know, they did all they know to do. I mean, whatever the procedures were back then, they did everything they knew to do. But now the Bible says that after 12 years, she spent all that she had, but rather grew worse. So now she's in a worse situation than she was 12 years previous. She spent all her money on the doctors. Now she's broke. That's kind of a bad spot to be in. But now, Jesus said, all things are possible to those who believe. The very next thing that happens in that story is it says that she heard of Jesus. And then the next verse says, she said, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And so she pressed in to Jesus. Jesus was going through the town that day. You ever been to the fair? Or you've been to the mall, like at Christmas time, and it's like this. I mean, you can't hardly, you know. Well, that's what it was like. See, there were a lot of people around Jesus, and she had to press in. This had to be an intentional thing. I'm sure that she wasn't feeling well, but she knew that if she could get to Jesus, then she could be made whole. And she said, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And so she got in there and she touched the hem of his garment, and the Bible says that the blood issue that she had dried up, and she knew that she was healed within her body. And then Jesus said this. He said, who touched me? Now the disciples, they thought this was crazy. I mean, Jesus, what do you mean, who touched me? We're in a crowd. There have been people touching you all day long. What do you mean, who touched me, you know? And he said, no, he said, there's somebody here that touched me with the touch of faith. And I felt healing power, healing virtue, leave me. That's who I'm wanting to know. Who was that who touched me? And so the woman heard him speak, and she came back and she said, it's me. And the Bible said she told him all the story. And now he said another amazing thing. Very amazing. And this changed my life. He said this. He said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. He didn't say, my faith has made you whole. And he didn't say, you know, he could have said this. He could have said, well, I'm Jesus. You touch me, you get healed. You know, he didn't say that. He said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. I thought, my goodness. So that goes right along with this other verse. For those who believe. It says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to those who believe. Well, she must have been a believer. Amen. She must have been a believer. And so he said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, I know that this particular situation is a health issue. But now when Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible for those who believe, that's all things. That's not just health. That's all things. Now, I just picked out that story because of what this woman said. She said, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be. So she understood speaking and believing. Well, I didn't understand that yet. I didn't have that. What I understood was praying and then waiting and waiting for the manifestation, see. And I had a situation in my life where I had some problems with my head. You might have already known that. But it was problems in my sinuses. There was infection. There were several different things going on. It was causing some problems. And so now, I had been taking some medication. Doctor gave me some medication, and I took it for a year. And I didn't notice any change at all. So then he said, well, let's try to go to shots. And so I went into the doctor twice a week, two shots in each arm each time. So that's four, that's eight shots a week. And I did that for a year. And no change. No change. But now the doctors are doing everything they know to do. I mean, man, thank God for doctors. But so then he said this. He said, okay, well, now we're going to need to take some x-rays. Let's see what's going on here. And so he took some x-rays, and he said, well, it looks to me like maybe we need to go for surgery. Boy, that just kind of, I don't know. There was just something about that, like surgery on my head. You know, I said, Doc, let me think about that. I'll get back with you. And so now, then I began thinking about some of these things. All things are possible for those who believe. And so, you know, I'm praying. And then the next morning, after I've prayed, I don't notice any difference. I don't notice any change. And so I'm thinking to myself, well, that didn't work. So then I look a little bit more, you know, and then I pray a little different way. And then the next morning, then it seemed like there's no change, just like before. Medication didn't do anything, you know, the shots weren't doing anything. Now what I'm trying to do out of the Bible doesn't seem like it's doing anything. You know, I don't know what to do, see. And I don't want surgery. I really don't want surgery. So I'm trying everything I know. And so then finally I saw this, see, and I saw something that I want to share with you that really changed me. And actually it healed me, and it saved me from surgery. And it's this. It's found back in James. James chapter 3 and verse number 3. Now, did anybody here ridden a horse? You been on a horse? Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever been on a sailboat? Ever, like, even a little sailboat out, you know? Did you know that both of those things are talked about in the Bible? I didn't know that. But now here in the book of James, chapter 3, and verse number 3, it says this, Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Well, my goodness, if you were somebody with a horse, well, you could find out, sure enough, you put a bit in the horse's mouth, well, my goodness, you can control it. Find that out in the Bible. You know, when I was in middle school, junior high, called it junior high when I was in junior high, but now they call it middle school, I guess. I'm a city kid. I grew up in the city. I like the country, and I live in the country now. But back then, I didn't have opportunity. I was in the city. But when I went to middle school, one of my best buddies grew up on a ranch. And I kind of envied him. You know, I thought, wow, that's pretty neat, you know, growing up all around, you know, out in the country and all of that. And now this was up in Minot, North Dakota, way up there in North Dakota. And if you've got a ranch up there, now that ground is pretty bad. I mean, really, it's really not very good ground up there. And so if you've got a ranch, it's not acres that you need, it's miles that you need in order to maintain any kind of livestock. Because there's got to be a lot of grazing land just for the stock that you need, see. And so now this boy, he was, you know, growing up on a ranch, and he wanted me to come out in the summertime and just be with him for a couple of weeks, you know. And I thought, wow, that's awesome. I mean, during summer break, you know, go to a ranch, you know, and learn how to be a cowboy. Boy, I thought that was going to be great, you know. So we worked it all out with the parents, and I got out there on this ranch. And the day that I got out there, the hands, you know, they were already saddled up. Everybody was all ready to head out onto the range. They didn't know where the cattle were. That's what we were going out to find. There's no fenced land. It's all open range, and they could be anywhere. So we were going to take a couple of days and try to find the cattle, round them up, bring them on back. See? And so now I got there just about the time they were trying to head out, and I didn't realize I was late until I got there. You know, I didn't know. And so they were all kind of waiting on me, and they pointed over, you know, to this horse over here. They said, "That's your horse. Get on it. It's time to go." Well, I'd never been on a horse in my life. There was no training time here. Well, I had to get on this horse, and I had to go with them. Well, it was crazy because I didn't know how to get on a horse. I didn't know what foot to put up there, you know. So I'm trying to get up on this horse. I climb up, and I put the wrong foot in the wrong stirrup. I get up there, and I flip around, and I'm facing backwards. And I thought, well, now, wait a minute. You know, I felt like a fool. Little kid, you know, and here's all these, you know, all these hands all ready to go, you know. So finally, they got me turned around, got me set on this horse. And obvious, it was very obvious, they knew that I was coming from the city, and I didn't know anything. And one of the hands came over, you know, he came over on his horse, he came over by the side of my horse, and he kicked the back end of my horse, and he says, "All right, let's get going." And I'm telling you what, I did not know. I mean, I did not know that a horse could go from 0 to 60 in 5 seconds. I mean, just like, I was hanging on to everything I knew to hang on to. I'm hanging on to hair. I'm just hanging on to everything I know. I thought I was going to die. And finally, we get, you know, I mean, there's nothing to run into. We're in open range. So that they didn't care. I mean, this horse, you know, is just going to run himself out, you know. And here I am, a city kid. I don't know a thing, you know. Well, then finally I found out, if I get a hold of these reins, they're attached to a bit. And if I can, you know, that'll put some pressure on his tongue. He doesn't like that. So you can control the horse if you can, you know, if you understand the bit in the horse's mouth, just like the Bible said. And so by the end of the 2 weeks now, I was doing pretty good. I mean, I'd dehorned and I'd castrated and I'd been out there on the range, and it was amazing what I learned in 2 weeks, you know. I mean, it was, man, I'd cleaned out a family of skunks. Had to burn my clothes. There was nothing we could do. I've never smelled a smell like that in all of my life, before or since. I've never. But it's just a part of growing up, I guess, you know. It was a part of it. But I was the kid, see, so when it came to cleaning out the family of skunks, I was the go-to guy. Let him do it. He's coming out here for an experience. Let's give him an experience. See. So I went through all kinds of stuff when I was out there. But I learned how to ride a horse. You put a bit in the horse's mouth and you can control his whole body. Then the very next verse on here, now I haven't wavered. I'm still on course. We're talking about, if you have faith, all things are possible for those who believe. But I'm figuring out here the fact that what I was speaking was wrong. And I had to get that straightened out. Because all things are possible for those who believe. And so now here, I saw that much. I saw that a bit in a horse's mouth can control his whole body. Then I saw the very next verse, "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm." In other words, a little rudder. When I was dating my wife, we weren't married yet, but I was dating my wife, and we were at a lake one day. You know, I'd taken her out. We're just having a picnic, having a good time. And I saw over here on the dock, there were some sailboats. Well, I'd never been on a sailboat before, but I thought it'd be a lot of fun to take her out on a sailboat. Now, have you ever, you know, I'll talk to the guys here. You ever tried to impress a woman but you didn't really know what you were doing when you were trying to impress it. That's what happened to me. And it was just it was a flop. I mean, you know, I'm trying to be this, you know, sailboat guy, and I've never been on a sailboat before. Or you ever have some kind of a guy, you know, that wants to impress you, and then you figure out, man, he's not too impressive. Well, I told her, I said, well, I'd like to take you out on this sailboat. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll have a good time. Well, she asked me, she said, have you ever been on a sailboat before? And really, I didn't answer that question. I just said, well, it'll be a lot of fun. I didn't want to say, no, I hadn't been on a sailboat before. I just said, it'll be a lot of fun. So we got out on this sailboat, you know, the guy kind of pushed us out. We got out there, you know, beyond the dock. And it was kind of a gusty, kind of a windy day. And so now this mast, you know, on this sailboat, boy, it's starting to flap back and forth. We got to duck our heads, you know. And it was kind of dangerous. Until I realized, now there's some ropes here. You got to tighten up, you know, on these ropes so that the mast will get a little, you know, stiffness into it. And then this wind, you know, will come up on that sail so that you can start going somewhere. So now I got that rope kind of pulled up, you know, and I got it going. And we could tell the boat was starting to move now. Well, then I got to looking around, and now the boat, yeah, it's moving okay, but the boat's going sideways. Well, that's not right. So then I got to looking around, and I thought, oh, wait a minute. There's a rudder on the boat. We got to do something with this. This is how we steer the boat. And so I got to working on that rudder, and the boat started turning in the right direction. We got everything going. Everything was just fine. It was kind of a rough start, but we got it. We got there. And so, you know, here it is, here, right here in the Bible. See, it tells you that even a sailing ship, no matter how big that ship is, you could have a little tiny rudder. But now, if you set that rudder and don't move it, set that rudder, and that rudder will put pressure on the water, see? And then the boat will begin to turn in the direction that you want it to go. Now the very next verse, even so the tongue is a little member. I thought, well, my goodness, it's making reference to my tongue, just like the bit in the horse's mouth that will turn the horse, the rudder on the ship that will turn the ship. And so is the tongue that will control the body. I thought what I say is very, very important. And so I began to think back about some of the things that I had been saying. Now, when I knew that I was praying, I would pray in faith, say the right things. And then the next morning, when I didn't see anything take place based on my prayer, I would say, well, I guess that didn't work, or what should I do now? And so that really, when you boil it down, I began to realize that I was not in faith. I wasn't believing anymore. I was believing that it didn't work. And so that's just like telling the horse, well, I want to go this way. No, I want to go this way. No, I want to go. See, it's just frustrating. And that horse isn't going to go anywhere. Or it's just like grabbing the rudder and you say, well, this way? No, this way? No, no, this way? No. See? And you're not going to get anywhere. Well, now you got to hold that rudder, and you might not notice a change right away. But after you hold that rudder, and just hold it, just be firm and hold it, well, that boat is going to start to make the change. And I began to see that with my mouth. I said, you know what? I have got to consistently say the same thing so that my body will change. And so I found a verse. The verse was this: by his stripes ye were healed. And I was after healing. See, there's all kinds of different things that you might be after. But I was after healing. And I thought, I looked at that verse and I thought, by his stripes I was healed. That doesn't make any sense to me, because I thought, by his stripes I was healed. Well, I certainly don't feel healed. If I was, I don't feel like I am. And then I began to see it. I thought, oh, wait a minute. That is the direction that I want to head. So that's what I got to begin to speak. So I'm lining up my words with what the Bible said. So if the Bible says, by his stripes I was, then I thought to myself, okay, if the Bible says, by his stripes I was, then I'm going to believe that I am. And so I thank you, Lord, for my healing. I thank you. So then the next morning I got up, absolutely no change. But now this time, I said, I've got to hold the rudder the same way all the time. And so, instead of changing that rudder, I said, thank you, Lord, I'm going to be consistent. Even though I don't see it, I'm not going to be moved by what I see. I'm not going to be moved by what I feel. And I'm not going to be moved by what I hear. I'm only going to be moved by what the Word of God says. And so I'm going to consistently thank you for my healing. So, you know, I had to do that for a month. Every time getting up the next morning and not seeing a change at all. And I mean, I had a lot of things going through my head. This isn't working. What do I do now? But I didn't say it. I kept my speaking the same. Just like it says here in the Bible, James, even so the tongue. So I'm going to lie. I'm going to keep my tongue, man. I'm hanging on to my tongue. It's only going to say certain things. So then after a month, I started noticing a change. Well, now my emotions, man, that's a pretty good deal. My emotions are starting to think, whoa, maybe this is, you know, but my tongue consistently said the same thing. So a year went by, and I really felt like everything was fine. But now every time I thought about it, all I did was just consistently said, thank you, Lord, for my healing. I thank you. And so now 2 years went by, and I'm still just saying the same thing, saying the same thing, saying the same thing. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go back to the doctor, and I'm going to have him take an x-ray and just see what he sees. Just verify it. We'll see what's going on. So I went back to the doctor, and I, you know, told him a few things. I didn't tell him everything that I was doing. But I told him a few things, and I said, you know, I know it's been, you know, a couple of years, and I'm feeling a lot better. And I'd like you to, you know, take an x-ray and just see how things are looking. And so he took an x-ray, and he came back, and he said, well, he said, I've looked at the x-ray, and he says, there's nothing there. Now, what he meant was, there was no infection, there was no, you know, I kind of called him on it. You know, I said, now, doc, don't look at my brain, don't look at my head and tell me there's nothing there, you know. There's got to be something up there, but it's just not what I don't want, you know. I mean, it's that. He said, yeah, I said, you know, it's all of that that we had seen before. He said, now I've got before shots, and I've got today's shot. And he said, what we saw before, it's gone. It's all gone. See, all things are possible for those who believe, but it doesn't necessarily happen overnight. You see, a lot of times when you have the reins in your hands and you tell a horse to turn, it takes a little bit to get that information to the horse, and then that horse doesn't turn on a dime. You know what I mean by that? I mean, you know, it's not like a 90-degree, you know, turn. I mean, that horse has got to turn in the direction. And the same thing with a sailing ship. When you change that rudder, sometimes it'll take a big swath. I mean, and it'll take a little bit of time before you can actually see that the ship is actually turning in that direction. But you don't stop hanging on to that rudder just because you don't see it turning. You maintain that rudder so that it will. And so it's the same way, and I began to see it's the same way with my tongue. When I want something to change in my life, I begin to speak in the direction that I want my body or my life to go, according to the Word of God. I find it in the Word first, and then I begin to speak the Word over my life, and my life begins to change. Now that was back in 1989. Here I am, 2010. Haven't had a problem since. For those who believe, all things are possible. You see, that word possible. All things are possible for those who believe. But it depends on how you work the Word. And my goodness, we're all growing. I'm still finding things, man. I can't tell you how many times I've read that, and I never saw that before. But that's because the Word of God is alive. And the more time you spend in it, the more time will be revealed to you. And so I just wanted to encourage you. I wanted to share that with you. And just the fact that now, you know, this thing that just happened this week, you know, my pastor now, he came up to me and he said, who does a pastor call when a pastor needs a pastor? See? Well, I'm his associate. And fortunately, I was just 5 minutes away, you know. And I said, well, call me. I'll be your pastor. And so, you know, we all gathered around. And the other day, he called me up, middle of the day. He called me up. And he said, I just want you to know how much I appreciate you being my pastor through this. And how much you ministered to my family. You know, I mean, he's my pastor. But now, who does a pastor call when a pastor needs a pastor? See? And so we go and we do what we know to do, and we speak the Word of God, we minister the Word of God over situations, knowing it's truth that all things are possible for those who believe. And we are believers, so all things are possible. Amen. And we stand on that, see? And so any situation that comes along, see, that's our lifeline. Any situation that comes along, we know that all things are possible for those who believe. And I'm a believer. That's why I pray. That's why I say what I say. That's why I do what I do. Because I know all things are possible for those who believe. And all things are possible in your life for those who believe. And I know there are situations where things didn't happen in my life. And I had to come to the reality in my life, I had to come to the reality that in that particular situation, apparently I wasn't believing. Not like I thought I was. Because God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He's a good God. And He said, all things are possible for those who believe. And I came to this conclusion. If I never get sick, if I never get any kind of disease, if I never have to take any medicine, if I'm never, ever, ever going to get sick, I'm never, never going to get sick, this body is still going to die. Because we only live so long. And the Bible says that for believers, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so, you know, all things are possible for those who believe. But now, when we die, really, all that is our spirit man. You know, we really are a spirit. We live in this thing. This is what keeps us on the earth. I call this my earth suit. Without this, I can't stay here. This is what keeps me on the earth. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord as a Christian. And so even though I may avert any kind of sickness and disease, I'm still going to die. So we can't be afraid of that. All we have to do is we got to know that as a Christian, really the reality is that as a Christian, we're going to live forever. Yeah. So all things are possible for those who believe on this earth. But then on the other hand, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so shall we ever, ever be with the Lord. See? And so we got it mainly, either way. Amen. Yeah. So we got it mainly. And so I just wanted to encourage you that, you know what, the Bible is just, it's an awesome book. God is an awesome God. And we can be encouraged in knowing that our answers are right here. Our answers are here. And all things are possible for those who believe. Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we just come to you this afternoon in the matchless name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you and we praise you that you are God, that you are a good God, that you've told us you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You do not change. And Father, we thank you that according to the Word, all things are possible for those who believe. And we are believers.